Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, keeping it old school since school was young and spelt with a CH. Coming up on this week's New Wave show, get well soon, Steve Jobs, and welcome back, Larry Page. Big changes at the top of Apple and Google. But what does it mean for you and me? 2 months is all you have to wait for the 3DS, but you may need longer to save up for one. The PSP phones coming to T-Mobile and Orange, and a new mini Galaxy S is coming to Mobile World Congress. Plus, we've the biggest games ever. All that and more. And by more, I mean less, which is, of course, more. Joining me on this week's show, making his T3 podcasting debut, it's T3's new deputy editor, Matt Hill, the lovely Ree Morgan. Plus, of course, the man who other men shelter behind when large scary things appear on 3D TVs. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell.
Hi, Dan.
Welcome. Hello. Hello.
Welcome, Matt.
Hello, all. Welcome, Matt.
Hello.
Welcome.
Nice to be here.
Matt kind of sat in on the last one, like sort of training, you know.
Observed.
But now those training wheels have been taken off and he's in the hot seat.
Floundering.
Yes. Next week, you'll be allowed to speak.
One step at a time. And also, nestled in the corner, it's Joe Svetlik, T3's news editor, who we're going to wheel in shortly. But hello, there. Joe.
Hello.
There we go.
Five people in one podcast.
Extraordinary.
It's like a Moyles-style zoo radio kind of thing.
We're going to need a bigger room.
Anyway, Duncan, lots happening in the tech world this week. But what's been happening in your world?
Well, I went to, this was ages ago now, but I went to Tokyo for the New Year.
Yes, how long did you go to Tokyo for?
For the weekend.
Entirely sensible.
Well, it's good. You do start to feel like you're walking through cheese and like your brain has just completely given up the ghost. But I feel like that around New Year's anyway, so it didn't make that much difference. And the great thing about going to Tokyo for only a weekend is you can't bankrupt yourself. Not even in Tokyo, you can't spend that much money in 2 days.
Just how expensive is Tokyo?
Bloody expensive. It's more expensive than that, but it involves a grade of swear above and
not
beyond.
Allowed.
Yeah, and you just have to bleep it out. But it's like, it's the swear above bloody.
Wow.
Followed by expensive.
Extraordinary.
Did you have a good time?
That's just it.
I had a great time. It was absolutely awesome. But yeah, no, the thing about it was that I went to, is it Akihabara?
Yes.
It's like, you sound like you're drunk when you try and say it. And I was drunk when I went. And they actually still have proper arcades over there, video arcades.
Oh, excellent.
Because over here, like, arcades are just sad, sort of, crumbling buildings full of predatory paedophiles and sort of, you know, really depressed-looking heroin addicts having
listlessly
playing House of the Dead 3.
That's just
or Dance Dance Revolution. Smackheads doing Dance Dance Revolution. But in Japan, they're absolutely fantastic. They've got all these games that have kind of ridiculous names, like Melty Blood, Actress Again, which I assume that's the sequel because of the subtitle. Mm. And Melty Blood. Melty, as far as I can work out, means like young girls in like sort of school uniforms or nurses' uniforms. So the blood bit means they're sort of kicking the shit out of each other. I also saw like Melty Massage or something in the office further down the street. And this amazing game, where you know young people, they have those like, they're like sort of top trumps with knobs on.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Kind of trading card type things. I don't really understand them. But they had like video games interacted with these cards.
Oh,
so it was these like Japanese kids sat there with this like their pile of like sort of World of Warcraft style cards with like weird shit on, and they're like actually moving them around on this surface in front of the game, and on the screen things were happening that related to just absolutely unbelievable. And because it's in Tokyo, everybody looks absolutely miserable and they're totally focused on what they're playing. And I was the oldest person there by at least, I don't know, by a lot. Also the only Westerner. Oh. But so that was great. So it made me think, if only we had proper video arcades in this game.
We could be
country.
Just as miserable.
We could be like the Japanese, but completely knackered and miserable at all times.
Oh, excellent. We'd need more caffeine drinks, that's for sure.
yeah, all that.
Good. Well, on to our top story. And, it could only be one thing this week, because even the news of a change at the top of Google has been overshadowed by the announcement that Apple's CEO and co-founder, Steve Jobs, is taking another leave of absence to focus on his health, in quotes. The last time that happened in 2009... Steve had, who is a pancreatic cancer survivor, was off for 6 months and underwent a liver transplant.
You sound annoyed at them then. Like, another sick
For goodness sake, Steve. Like, honestly, just get over it.
He's got a cold. He's got a migraine.
Yeah, that is the mother of all sick notes, though. Yeah. Where were you, Steve?
I was having
a liver transplant. I suppose the key thing here is that last time he didn't say why he was going, and it turned out to be quite serious.
No.
Again, this time, suitably vague statement. Mm. So who knows?
Well, I think it's fair to say if the first time he had a leave of absence, it was due to pancreatic cancer, and the second time he had a leave of absence, it was due to having his liver transplanted. I think it's fair to say that this leave of absence isn't because he's got a bit of a sniffle.
Yes.
I think that's fair to say.
Wants to get our school sports thing.
He's not. He doesn't strike me as the kind of man who, you know, as my sort of approach to coming into the office and being being sick or whatever. As I assume, unless somebody's nailed his feet to the floor, he tries to get into the office.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's. This is the statement. At my request, the board of directors has granted me a medical leave of absence so I can focus on my health. I will continue as CEO and be involved in major strategic decisions for the company. But he's basically day-to-day stuff is going to Tim Cook, who's the chief operating officer. He handled it last time.
Hmm.
He's sort of considered...
Very competent.
Yeah, he's considered safe pair of hands.
I'd go for him.
He's very... He looks a bit like the big friendly giant, as Joe actually pointed out. In the, we did a thing after we were on the stand-ins race last time. Is that the maybe not a race? Is it? But the he was one of them, and we noticed that he looked a lot like the big friendly giant.
Yeah,
that's not adding a lot to the discussion. But
thanks.
It's funny because Apple has done sort of the opposite of Google, where Google have booted out a sort of They have moved Eric Schmidt, who's very much a kind of like Wall Street man, like very experienced sort of running a company kind of person. To have Larry Page is a lot more of a kind of creative sort of person, whereas Apple have had forced upon them almost the exact opposite.
Yeah, I mean, it's presumably not a permanent thing, even if Steve doesn't come back. But he is. Tim could have steered the company through when you know when Steve wasn't there the last time.
Was he still making
some major pretty announcements
last time?
It's always been. It's hard to say exactly how much of a hand on the tiller Steve still has or had the last time he was off. But he's always maintained this kind of thing. You know, major decisions will still be there, but for day to day stuff.
There was that great quote from the president of Creative Strategies who said that Tim Cook was kind of more in charge of Apple than people realise. So I think it's quite interesting. And also, you know, everyone's saying obviously the shares have gone down straight away. But
that's because markets always overreact to things like
absolutely.
That, don't they? They've got then Apple announced absolutely massive
mega profits. Yeah, the share basically because the announcement was made when the markets were closed.
Mm.
In the sort of pre-trading, the shares went down. Then the markets closed, and the announcements came out on Apple's figures. And in the pre-trading, the shares went back up. So it's
over the term. Last time of Tim Cook being in charge, it went up 60% in their share price. Though,
wow,
did it?
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, it depends how... It more makes you think, well, what's going to happen when Steve Jobs eventually does have to retire?
Yeah, it's kind of another reminder that Steve Jobs can't live forever.
Because obviously
maybe
nothing...
Maybe he's slowly phasing himself out. Kind of like,
well, the thing is, nothing's going to happen in the next 6 months as a result of Steve Jobs being on sick leave or whatever. Like, every product they've got lined up to come in the next 6 months must already be locked down anyway.
The iPad 2 is still going to come out. The iPhone 5 is still going to come out.
Who knows what kind of... In terms of serious innovation... Mm. Apple have been working on over the last few years.
But yeah,
but
I mean,
that's not going to change.
The iPhone and the iPad were both Steve Jobs's, you know, visions, really, weren't they? So I guess the thing is, what's the next iPad or the next iPhone, you know, and is that going to come out? Because Steve, he kind of cuts through that whole committee process, you know. Mm. If he doesn't like something, that's it, dead in the water, you know. Yeah. Can Apple's exist as a without that kind of that one man driving stuff through?
I don't see why not. They've got a lot of sort of talented people. It's like, I mean, Steve Jobs' iconic position means that he's completely hooked into Apple as far as investors are concerned, as far as the outside world is concerned. But you could say the same thing about Bill Gates before he left Microsoft. And Microsoft, if anything, has thrived and improved since Bill Gates stopped being involved.
I did read one suggestion in some ways. Things can start happening because sometimes Steve is a bit of a block on certain things. You know, if Steve doesn't like it, that's it. It's dead in the water. But, you know, with him slightly sidelined, maybe a few projects that he would have kiboshed might see fruit.
I don't think so. I don't think it'll make any difference over the next year. It's just if by, say, 12 months' time, it looks like Jobs isn't going to come back, then that might be where it starts to get a bit like, ooh, are we going to see a change in the way that Apple does business? Because it's hard to see who could come in and run the company in the same way that he does. You know, nobody really, I don't think. So, but that doesn't mean it'll get worse, does it?
See, no.
That's the thing. Like Steve Ballmer is a completely different character to Bill Gates. You know, not as well known in most people's minds. But Microsoft have probably put out much more interesting products since he's taken over from Gates.
So. He does better keynotes.
He does.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose...
Bounds around the stage.
Again, I suppose he's the thing of replacing a creative with more of a company man.
Yeah.
But that doesn't...
but like, when you say a company
very
man,
extrovert
Steve Ballmer is not a suit, is he? Is such. Yeah. He's a slightly insane person.
There is a suggestion that Tim Cook is actually...
slightly insane?
Well, he's slightly gay, apparently, so...
Slightly gay.
Maybe he'll be bringing extreme fabulousness.
We're all a little bit gay, Duncan.
Future.
fabulousness.
Okay, over at Google, as you pointed out, they're getting rid of the corporate suit.
Well, they're not getting rid of him.
Well, okay.
Just for any libel the lawyers who are listening at this point. Yeah.
He's moving to a different
interesting position.
Yes, okay. So Eric Schmidt, they're bringing back the man who co-founded Google.
And he was their CEO until Schmidt was basically
forced upon them. Yeah, he was CEO for the first 3 years. So they're bringing him back, Larry Page. Is this, you know, has Google lost its way a little bit? Is that why Larry Page is coming back?
Yeah, maybe. I mean...
How much did Eric Schmidt have to do with what Google released, though? He was more... Wasn't he more like an advisory?
I think that's almost the role he's going into now, is the kind of almost, you know... The fatherly advisory figure, where he really,
I think the
know,
general,
he was the man running Google.
I think the general feeling was that he was completely in charge of Google. Mm. Yeah. And Page and Brin were in, you know, obviously very important within the company, but at the end of the day, Schmidt was the man running it. Yeah, I don't think there was any... Because he was brought in basically in the insistence of investors that they have a more experienced CEO, but I don't think there was ever any suggestion that he was like some sort of token... pretend CEO. Well,
this
it was
is
just
almost,
having his strings
almost,
worked.
It almost seems there's a bit of a change in the way these corporations are going, and that you start off, it used to be you start off with your legendary founders. So in this case, Larry Page. But if you look at, say, Facebook, Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
So you start off with them, and then once it gets to a certain size, you've got to bring in the proper professional CEO who will grow the business and blah blah blah. But if you look at Facebook, you know, it's been Zuckerberg pretty much all the way, and it's huge.
Yeah, I think it's because of Zuckerberg.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, and similarly with Apple, Steve Jobs.
Why would you want? I mean,
Steve Jobs was disappeared as CEO for a while. Apple did lose its way a bit. Steve Jobs comes back. Apple completely back on track.
If you're like a super intelligent person, and you've created a product or a range of products that people all over the world want to use, and then somebody else insists, "Oh, yeah, but you're not." What do you know about running a company? Like bringing some guy who's run a load of companies? No, screw that. I mean, yeah, I'm not at all surprised that.
Yeah,
he must have been absolutely itching to get back.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, is it that you need these visionary founders to keep driving innovation? You know, what it is that started the whole thing in the first place?
I think so. I mean, I thought it was very telling that tweet today where he says day-to-day supervision no longer required. And I thought it was kind of like reverting back to the kind of the young guys that had the ideas and kind of to push it forward. I mean, I just found that really, really interesting because that was originally what he came in to be involved with. So
he's not going to do the day-to-day running.
The other thing is that it's not like Google's put out anything that's...
Well, this is it. So, you know...
You're
been any
bored,
good
Duncan.
Since...
Well, it's true. Okay, so we've got, search. Okay, it rocks search.
Yeah.
Let's put that to one side. Android, okay, pretty good.
Yeah, but then Android was a company they bought, and then developed massively, but it wasn't.
They needed that, and then Chrome doing, picking up pace, doing well. I do like Chrome.
Chrome's all right. But
then
it's just another browser at the end of the day.
Yeah. Right? Then we've got Google Buzz. Well, that's not
Buzz.
It's not Facebook. Is
Google TV? I know that's not come out much, but it's not making
Google
huge
TV
waves.
Has been picked up by Sony, so that's got a chance. Mm. But Google Wave.
That was awful.
Yeah
Google
I
Wave
still,
came and went.
I still don't understand really
what it does.
What it is.
Google TV doesn't seem to me to have any purpose particularly, or to be. I don't know. Like, how would they make money out of it, even if it was?
Well, Google TV. I mean, we saw at CES. Every company now has smart TV, and Google TV is kind of the Android for smart TVs. In that anyone
can
use it.
I think it's as good as that, though.
Samsung doesn't seem much less clunky than like a boxy box or something like that.
But Samsung has its proprietary one. LG has its proprietary one.
Yeah.
Sony's gone with Google TV. Other companies presumably will as well. Mm. Or you'll add it as a box. It's the Android of smart TV. Mm. Now, how big smart TV will be, we'll see. But I think it's got potential.
Maybe. I mean, Android's still really exciting, I suppose. Obviously,
yeah, but especially with the new Honeycomb. That'd be exciting, but yeah, they haven't done like search as their big bastion of Google.
Google isn't exactly dying on its knees.
No.
But
in terms of its newer ventures, they've not perhaps had the same vision that the old, its core products have.
No, and it's not a company that's got the same sort of buzz about it that it used to have. And that's, for a lot of people who work within a company, that probably doesn't matter at all as long as they're getting, suitcases of cash through the door every day.
Maybe,
but a lot of people who work at companies will actually value having people buzzing about them above the, how many billions of dollars does any one person need or any one company need? Do you know what I mean?
It's even people earning billions of dollars, I imagine people working at Apple are excited to be working at Apple.
Yeah.
It's not a case of, how much money they're making or whatever. Well, I'm sure that helps.
I'm sure they're doing all right.
yeah. So, okay, so
It's like working at T3, obviously the pay's great. And
the suitcases of cash.
The fantastic offices and everything, they're wicked. But
yeah,
it's mainly the sheer buzz of working on the world's number one gadget podcast / magazine website. iPad app.
Luke Peters as editor, that visionary man at the forefront there.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming in every day, scouring the office, trying to find him. You're under the desk.
I saw him in the canteen on his own just earlier. So being visionary.
Yes, he was hard at work on something visionary.
Yeah. We'll get him in and ask him about this.
What was the question again, anyway? I've lost track.
So anyway, Larry Page, visionary leader, Tim Cook.
Tim Cook, perhaps less so, but apparently a bit gay, so bringing fabulousness.
Excellent.
To the next.
So Larry Page is gay as well?
I don't think Larry Page is gay, no.
Right.
Did I say Larry Page? Yeah. I meant Tim Cook. The big friendly gay guy.
Maybe our lawyers should.
A million bloggers stop typing straight away.
Sit in on the podcast. Anyway, plenty more news where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. Yes, Apple's announced its latest figures, once again posting record quarterly profits and sales. It made a whopping $6 billion in the 3 months to Christmas, up from less than $4 billion paltry the year before. iPhone sales jumped to 16 million and iPad sales doubled on the previous 3 months to hit 7 million.
Pretty impressive stuff. New CEO stand-in Tim Cook didn't think much of the competition, either calling the current crop of Android tabs scaled-up smartphones and describing the next generation as mere vapour. Mm. But Apple's not having it all its own way. Here in the UK, Carphone Warehouse says Android overtook every other operating system in 2010. It's also said smartphones now make up a giant 75% of all mobile phone sales.
That's quite a lot. Speaking of vaporware, HP and Palm will reveal all about their webOS tablet plans at a special event on the 9th of February, 8 days after the rumoured iPad 2 launch. Word is the pre-makers are plotting two tablets, the 7-inch Opal and 9-inch Topaz. Only trouble is, they're not expected to show up till September, making Palm late to the party once again.
One thing that won't be late and does have a launch date and a price is the Nintendo 3DS. It'll land on the 25th of March for a minimum £220 outlay, nearly enough for an Xbox 360 with Kinect.
Ooh.
Of course, you'll need some games to go with that. 25 of them will be released between launch and the E3 Games Expo in June.
Mobile World Congress is just around the corner and announcements have started to leak. One to look out for is the new Galaxy S Mini, or ACE as it's being dubbed. The scaled-down version of the Samsung bestseller will have a 3.5-inch Super AMOLED display, 720p video recording and run Froyo.
Meanwhile, the mighty everything everywhere, that's T-Mobile and Orange to you and me, have apparently agreed to take on the upcoming PSP phone, also known as the Xperia Play. The 4-inch gingerbread phone is expected to be officially unveiled at next month's Mobile World Congress and be in stores for April.
Mm. Yes, it is.
So,
what is the matter with Palm?
I don't know.
No offence to anyone with Palm, but what the fucking hell is the matter with Palm? They put a phone called a Pixie and expect anybody to buy that. And now their tablets are going to be called the Opal and the Topaz. It's like something British Leyland would have called their cars in the mid-70s. You might as well call it, I don't know,
the Fuchsia.
The Turd, yeah. And the Please Don't Buy Me.
And late, once again, I thought the whole point of having HP on board was that...
Well, I love HP.
Extra sauce.
Yes. Was that, you know, they had oodles of cash and could actually get products out in time.
Maybe. Well, yes. It's better to, you know, release something really late and nobody wants it, but it works, than to rush something out and have nobody buy that and say it doesn't work.
Right.
That's the way I look at things.
That's why you're not the visionary CEO of any company.
If it was down to me, T3 would come out once a year and only just.
It'd be the most polished turd ever.
It would be so polished.
Excellent. Well, time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM. Duncan.
Yep. Alan Peter 89, whose real name's Alan Kay.
Why
so he's put no thought whatsoever into his Twitter name, has he? But he says, any news on a UK release date of Google TV? Been looking out for a while, can't see anything though.
Well, there you go. Well, so someone's looking forward to it.
Oh, right.
You've identified the one person in Britain who cares.
Well, presumably when Sony...
When Sony get released.
Yeah. Which, traditionally, CES announcements are made in January, the tellies come out around April, don't they?
Oh, except... Yeah, and what it also depends, well, the TV market's a bit funny over, isn't it? Well, because the other thing that Google TV kind of relies on is them being able to cut deals with the providers. Yeah. So maybe it's waiting for the inking of various.
Yeah, because Logitech and the Review Box didn't have any date, and that was last December.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all a bit TBC at the moment. Yeah.
Basically, forget it, Alan Peters. <Yeah. Okay. laughs>
Sometime. Matt, what has Gabrieli Tobia?
Is that Gabrielle? Gabrielle?
Who knows?
Gabrielle or Gabrielle Tobias?
Gabrielle, I think.
Okay.
It's Gabrielle, isn't it?
Yeah, there's just a bit of missing toner on my
out. I was going to say you can't read your own handwriting. This is actually typed. So.
Gabriel.
There we are.
Anyway, yeah.
Retweeting a T3 tweet, which was BlackBerry Playbook, can it take on the iPad? They ask, why can't Apple and BlackBerry find names without a double entendre?
Okay, I understand iPad has a double
playbook
meaning.
There's no double entendre there.
What? Playing with my book.
Ooh,
really
oh,
really
maybe like playbook.
Pardon.
Playbook is like a porno.
Is it?
Yeah, maybe.
Play.
It's a porn.
What, like a play bunny?
Rim's
quite
like
rude. A book that you play
Rim's very rude.
Oh, Rim. Yeah, maybe.
Rim.
But yeah, but
like, it's not written
B&B
Rim.
Playbook makes me think of NFL and coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had
Rim leaks.
I think on T3.com, somebody used the expression "the Rim leaks are coming thick and fast" in the run up to MWC.
Excellent. Nice.
See, I knew we had Joe here for a reason. Like, he could chip in with his foulness.
It just made me think that's what happens when you get older, I suppose.
Yeah, because we did make the point before the iPad was launched and we didn't have a name. We were saying, oh, it can't be the iPad because that just sounds far too much like a sanitary product. But
lo and behold, what do we know?
It didn't hurt the Wii, did it?
No.
Yeah, what was that about? Okay.
What's Wii a double entendre of?
Ree, what have you got?
I've got a tweet from Mickey X or Mikey P. Catching up on at...
See, again, X, or but your surname begins with a P. What is that?
Maybe it's like Malcolm Mickey X. Maybe it's like a sort of Black Power leader.
Maybe it's just affectionate. It's like Mickey Kiss.
Kiss? Oh, okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Catching up on at TG. I'm going to get to this tweet. Catching up on at TG.com podcast. The CES one sounded great.
Oh, thanks, Mickey. Thanks. We should
I'm glad he said that because... Somebody on iTunes gave us a bum review and said the acoustics of the CES, specifically for the CES one, said really liked the podcast, but then only gave it 2 stars because he thought the acoustics were no good on the CES one.
Sorry,
we had a bit of a fail on the audio there because normally I record, when we did it last year, I recorded on trusty old mini disc, which never fails. And we used the camera for the other microphones and it worked perfectly. This year, I recorded using Audacity and a laptop and a microphone plugged into that. And all this
modern way.
And I think there were little skips in the recording.
Oh,
and what it meant was that whenever I tried to get the timings of the microphones together, as you'd go on a little bit, and then they'd be out of sync because there'd been a skip in the recording elsewhere. So, yeah.
Shocking.
That's the valuable lesson.
That's why we try and use modern technology.
Exactly.
I'm
going back to mini-disc.
Mini-disc, still got it.
Oh, yeah. It's a gem.
It's fun. The review's quite funny, actually. She says, stop having fun and make sure it sounds good.
Well, I'd love to.
Stop enjoying yourself.
I'd love to, but it would have taken me forever to sort of thread the sound together properly. Anyway, Stun UK, aka Stu Newman, regular tweeter. T3, I'd like to see full. We're asking what you'd like to see in the iPhone 5.
Yeah.
Which we'll get onto in a future podcast because these suggestions are coming in thick and fast. He says, I'd like to see full cloud integration so your music/video files are stored on iTunes servers rather than the phone. Which is interesting because...
That's what they are moving towards, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. There's distinct rumours that MobileMe will become free.
Useful.
Yeah,
at some point. Yeah.
Useful and free. It's 60 quid a year at the moment, isn't it? Which is shocking.
is it? I don't think it's that bad.
Well, when you consider that the core features of MobileMe you get for free on Android, you know, why would you pay £60 for MobileMe? As good as the extras
nicer
are.
Nicer interface.
Yeah, it's a nicer interface. And you can, you know, photos and stuff.
My problem with the cloud thing is like, yeah, okay, that does sound like a brilliant idea in theory, but you're just going to spend an awful lot of time pre-downloading stuff in order to listen to or watch or whatever, because you can't, the mobile broadband isn't reliable enough to just stream stuff to your phone from the cloud. Mm. If you're on the underground, say, for instance, you've got no connection at all, so... I'd rather have onboard storage.
Okay, good to know. But yeah, it may well be happening, Stu. So watch this space for your iPhone 5. Anyway, it's time for our gadget of the week. And time to wheel in T3 news editor Joe Svetlik.
Hello.
And wheel out Ree. Sorry, Ree. Yeah, see you later.
We should do this in surround sound.
That
would be a brilliant effect.
Basically, we only have four microphones. so one of us had to go. Joe, what do you have?
Well, I just flew back from Amsterdam where I was at the launch of the Nintendo 3DS, portable 3D gaming console, and it was great. It was much better than I expected. I was quite dubious to begin with. A screen that size, 3D, no glasses. I thought it would just make me feel sick and motion sick and everything. But, certain games look great in it, I think.
So what did you play?
I played Street Fighter 4. It's got a really long name. Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition, I think, is the full name of it.
Slick.
Melty Street Fighter.
Well, quite. What else did I play? I played Pro Evo Soccer.
Okay.
There was an augmented reality game where you place a card on the table, point the camera at it, and then these boxes start coming at you and you're shooting them and things. And that was cool, but it kept dropping off the kind of connection. Mm. The camera stopped recognizing. You have to stay 35 centimeters from it exactly.
Completely still.
The entire time. Well, no, because the game involves you moving side to side to shoot things. So
that's tricky. Face Raiders.
I didn't play that, no.
But, that's where you shoot your own face.
Yeah.
So what did 3D bring to football?
The football looked great. Depth, I suppose.
Yeah. but in terms of,
question of the year.
is correct.
The extra dimension brought.
But did it actually enhance the game in any way?
I think so, yeah. I think the best experience was Street Fighter, to be honest.
Right.
Nintendogs, the dogs kind of look like they're coming out the screen at you. They're kind of running up for attention and everything. But Street Fighter, it made them look like they were further away, actually. It kind of the depth had the kind of opposite effect. You're looking into the screen and they're kind of further away with depth there. And it was just a bit more engaging, really. A bit more immersive.
Could you play it for a long time or did you have a chance to?
Well, yeah. I mean, I played a few games on Street Fighter and it was fine. At the very beginning, I did feel a little bit sick. Right. I was thinking, this is going to be terrible. It's going to bomb. But thanks to the handy switch on the side, you can decrease the amount of 3D-osity, I believe is the technical term.
Yeah.
you knock that down to half and you're fine. And then later on, I ramped it up to full and I was fine with it. I think it's just one of those things that takes its period of adjustment, I think.
Could you feel yourself going blind? Because it has been suggested, not by us, but it has been suggested in the press that it could make you go blind.
I think that's children on the...
Yeah, and it's also complete nonsense. it's just utter rubbish. Well, because basically this is because Nintendo, they're always so super scared of anything bad happening.
Yeah.
That their advice was on don't use it for under fire. So everyone assumed that you'll probably go blind.
It's like all the warning signs coming on when you first had the Wii. And
exactly.
Like,
you
put the strap on. And,
yeah. May cause injury. or death. But yeah, it's speaking to optometrists in the field. Basically, they've said actually this could be a great thing because if kids play it and they can't see the 3D, it probably means there's something wrong with their eyes, and we can get them into the opticians and get it, you know, fixed.
But everyone has to have one.
whereas all these people who are now,
I suppose that's one way of
looking at 3D. No, seriously, this is what they're saying. Whereas now, people who can't see 3D now, well, there's nothing you can do about it. You're an adult now, and you know, tough.
Except that the world is in 3D.
Yes, but it's not. It's
I don't know that you need to play
a 3DS. A lot of people don't have great depth perception in the real world.
No, I know.
And those people,
many of the motorists that I pass on the way to work,
for instance, and they will struggle with 3D on a television. And other people, you know, it's just to do with the, you know, the images in their brain not aligning up quite as they should, things like that. Yeah, so that can all be corrected if you're a little kid, but it can't when you're an adult. So
yeah, that's true. Well, it's just I think it must have been the Evening Standard that I saw, or maybe to Daily Mail, and it said fears are growing that you know, the 3DS could cause an epidemic of blindness.
Yes, that sounds like the Daily Mail to me.
Much like the day of the Triffids or something, where we'll wake up.
So, is it worth £220?
Well, we're going to find out, I think, aren't they, when it launches on March 25th.
Would you be handing over your £220?
I would say that's a lot of money. I probably wouldn't, but, you know, it was much better than I expected. But, yeah, again, it is still...
Was this the launch with Jonathan Ross?
It was, yes. he accidentally, at one point, he started reading the auto cue that the guy from Nintendo was supposed to be reading. And then about halfway through, he said, sorry, I got a bit excited. I thought I ran Nintendo for a second there.
Jonathan Ross, so, yeah. That old wag.
220 does seem like too much to me, but then 7-year-olds can be bloody demanding.
It seems so not Nintendo to be bringing out something that expensive.
Yeah, non-Pokemon.
How much was the DS when it came out?
The DSi was 170 something, wasn't it?
Pretty certain it was quite significantly less than that.
And the PSP, I know it's not Nintendo, obviously, but the PSP was about 250, wasn't it? When it came out?
Yeah, yeah.
It's certainly more impressive than that.
And I think the DS, when it started to get towards 100, when it started to get towards 120, became like that was a big seller at that point, wasn't it?
The 3DS does have Shaun the Sheep downloaded.
Oh, well, then.
Well, I thought
sold. Yeah, did you watch any of the videos? Any 3D telly?
Like a couple of clips, but it was kind of very short and. You know, Shaun the Sheep's not really my kind of thing, to be honest. I think they were going for Wallace and Gromit, but they didn't get it, so they couldn't
afford it.
So they got the sheep.
Yeah. I think the main thing is the launch lineup, or the launch stroke near to launch lineup of games is pretty amazing.
25, yeah.
It's like 20, but they're all good games. Because normally Nintendo consoles in particular, they launch with, I don't know, maybe one or two very good titles made by Nintendo itself, and then quite shitty third-party titles. But this one's got, you know, it's actually like quite a stellar list of... Resident Evil and Dead or Alive.
Exactly launch. They said today that 10 on day one, and Pro Evo and Street Fighter are day one releases.
Okay, okay. Mario Kart did look amazing. I couldn't play it, but they had it behind glass so you could watch it run.
That is something that's got awesome. 3D Mario Kart. I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and the Resident Evil game I'm actually looking forward to.
I haven't played with the 3DS, but I have seen LG's 3D screen, you know, that they're going to be putting in mobile phones, and I was really impressed with how good non-glasses 3D is in a handheld device. It really worked as compared to how non-3D non-glasses TVs are. Go away.
How enormously professional, though.
Yes, yes.
I thought it was interesting that it's only three to four hours battery life, though.
Yeah,
which I think.
Well, like we said, it's back to old school, old school Game Boy era.
I don't know. I still play Tetris on my original Game Boy, and those batteries have lasted God knows how many years. the battery light is fading, though, so I think I might have to replace them soon. I'm just going to die again. But there you go.
As long as you've got plenty of rechargeable batteries, I suppose it's not. That it's not a problem, but 3 to 4 hours does seem pretty pathetic.
Enormous battery packs for car journeys and all that kind of business. The accessory makers will have a field day.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it'd be good. It does take double A's, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I didn't
know. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
Who knows?
I'm making the assumption.
Wow,
panic very foolishly. Well, okay. I was going to buy a load of shares in Energizer or Duracell, basically, for when it comes out. But if it doesn't take double A's, maybe
then
not.
Then the deal's off. Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you, Joe. So I'm not sure what we concluded there, but other than it's quite a lot of money, but quite good.
I think it's the usual thing we say, which is that we wouldn't buy one, but if Nintendo would like to send us one, we'd be absolutely delighted.
Excellent. Excellent. Anyway, what was that, Ree?
We don't take bribes.
It's not a bribe.
Well, speak for yourself. Stuff. Speak for yourself, Ree.
Incentive.
Anyway, as promised, some games are legendary. Zelda. Others are lunch breaky Angry Birds. But we have the 20 best-selling ever. Yes, the guys at Guinness World Records, in conjunction with this new Gamers Edition book, have been keeping track of the best-selling games. And we do mean ever. We're going back to, I think, the oldest one in here, what, 1985?
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers.
At number two.
Which Super Mario is Bros. At number two with 40 million copies.
I'm a massive truck with this list. Massive truck with this list.
Go on.
Well, the top five, four of them. Mm. Wii Play is five. Tetris is four.
Yeah.
Two Super Mario Brothers, and one is Wii Sports, all of which were bundled with consoles.
Yes, quite right.
So Wii Sports supposedly has sold 74 million copies, which is almost double what number two has sold.
Yeah.
But you had to get it with the Wii.
Presumably Wii Sports has sold no copies on its own.
Exactly.
You can't even buy it on its own, can you? Can you get it? I suppose you get it second hand as a standalone title.
That would be odd. Yeah. Okay. Super Mario Brothers bundled with the
NES.
With the NES.
Tetris
bundled with a Game Boy, 30 million copies. Wii Play you get with a controller, 28 million copies.
And then three is Pokemon, which is three different games. So now, I know you technically have to kind of, to get everything, you have to have bought all three, but how many people actually bought
Pokemon,
all three?
Pokemon, Green, Red, and Blue.
I would imagine many, many people bought all three. I don't think people are into Pokemon are like a little bit into Pokemon and like, or just test the waters a bit. The people who are into Pokemon were so into it, they'd have...
So that effectively means that one equals three, so you should divide that by three.
I don't know about that. No, I just think that's a very shrewd way of selling games.
Okay, so we've not...
I've got less of a problem with that than the whole it comes free with a console thing. That really is. I can't believe that many... I mean, for instance, Wii Play is just a rank outright bad game.
Yeah.
It's
would have bought it were it not for the fact... You know, it's very nice to come free with your second controller for the Wii, but... As a game on its own,
yeah, it doesn't rank the fifth best game ever.
So what we're basically saying is the biggest selling game of all time.
It's New Super Mario Brothers because that had no marketing gimmick behind it other than that it came out.
Right.
So that was that's
the biggest selling game
number
of all time.
Number six, launched in 2006 and sold 24.1 million copies.
I think more impressive is that Modern Warfare 2 has already sold 21 million. It was only released last year. Oh well, 2009.
Nintendogs.
Yes.
I'm probably revealing more than I ought to here, but Nintendogs is also cheating, unless I'm very much mistaken, because that's got as many breeds.
Yes.
You can buy almost like the Pokemon thing.
23 million copies, and also came bundled with a lot of DSs as well.
There we are.
If you remember.
So this list is a sham and a disgrace, and what the hell are we even doing talking about it?
And didn't Wii Sports Resort come with the Motion Plus as well?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. So that's a number nine.
Wii Fit obviously comes with the Wii Fit board.
Yeah. Pokemon Gold and Silver is another one where they split them.
Excellent. So we're down to...
Modern Warfare 2.
Super Mario Brothers, a new Super Mario Brothers rather, in 2006. Mario Kart in 2007, which sold 24.01 million copies. We've already discounted Nintendogs. Wii Sports is out. Pokemon, we're discounted for cheating.
Well, I've got less of a problem with the Pokemon.
Wii Fit came with the Wii Fit board. So now we're back into Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Mario Kart come with a Wii?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, that's true.
It did. Yeah, but one's going to have bought them.
That's more the other way around. You buy the game and then
you get a little plastic wheel,
which
is pointless.
Which you never use,
yeah.
So no, it's not pointless. It's great. I can't play it without the wheel.
Oh, no.
I feel really stupid just sat there with a controller.
No.
Sat there with a little plastic wheel. I feel like Nigel Mansell.
With the Wiimote and a nunchuck. That's the best control.
You do it properly as well.
Some of these are multi-format as well, aren't they? Whereas others are single format.
That's true.
Yes.
So it's not really
Mario Kart DS, which has sold 17.9 million copies. If you'd added that to Mario Kart Wii, you would have 41 million copies. It would be the second best selling.
It is interesting. I suppose the main thing you would draw from this is the complete, total, and utter domination of Nintendo in the selling of games in the great scheme of things. No, nothing else even comes close.
Got it, you're right, actually. So what, 1, 2, 3...
There's only one Rockstar game in there. There's only one Call of...
Okay,
oh, sorry,
out,
two
out
Rockstar
of the top
games.
20, there are three that aren't Nintendo.
Yeah, and two of those are Grand Theft Auto.
So it's Call of Duty then, basically.
It's a very homogenous list. Did you see... somebody sent a good tweet about this. It's that, you know that guy who does really tetchy tweets about gaming?
Yeah.
To T3.com. He said, this list sickens me.
Yes, I saw that.
Well, it's another argument behind this, though, is the fact that there are lots of good games on the PS3 and the Xbox, whereas there are only a few good games on the Wii and the DS, and therefore they sell a lot.
So you have to buy them?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I follow that argument. But
well, anyway, they're all first-party games, aren't they? They're all the good games.
Yeah, I know, but that I don't know if that somehow invalidates.
But it's why
the fact they've sold a lot.
But it's why they sell so much, because there's nothing else to buy on the system.
Yeah, maybe.
No.
That's Matt's theory.
Duncan's not having it.
Isn't it? Well, isn't it the case that all the kind of third-party ones for Nintendo, notoriously over the years, have been less good than for the like the PS3? The Wii version's always been, well, in the past anyway, they were kind of more cuddly, childish kind of versions with green blood and
things. Oh, yeah, yeah. Than, oh, yeah, the things.
Rather than full-on balls-out kind of shooting expeditions.
Well, all of these, apparently, are not only... I thought Pokemon actually was made by a third party, but maybe not. They're not only for Nintendo systems, they all actually are made by Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this list is based on quantity, not necessarily quality. Would any of your top three, are they on here?
Tetris.
What?
All-time
most,
classic.
Most loved games. It's hard to say. I do like Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Day of the Tentacle on the PC. That's all. All-time best game.
Yes.
And I'm not too keen on Grand Theft Auto type games. I don't know.
The original GoldenEye isn't on here. That would be on my list.
I really like Uncharted 2. That's the only game... I've had a PS3 for the best part of 3 years, I think, now, and that's the only game I've ever played all the way through.
Ever?
Yeah. Ever?
Really?
On the PS3. Oh, no, I did that Call of Duty game, Modern Warfare 1. Played that all the way through.
Excellent.
No way am I going to play Black Ops all the way through. I'm just bored to tears with that game after about 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, you're the biggest critic, I think. Of,
well, mainly because you can't shoot the armoured guys with the grenade launcher if they're near you.
We've discussed this.
Everybody's complaining about, there's a bit of lag on the multiplayer. No, being able to shoot the difficult guys with the big gun.
Is that a flaw in your tactics, though, or a flaw in the game?
It's a flaw. It's a bug. You literally can't do it. It doesn't work. It's like...
When you blow yourself
up, we were talking about it last... Yeah. No, that at least would make sense, and you'd find that annoying. But no, you get no explosion. Yeah, you're ridiculous.
I can't believe we're talking about this again.
That sickens me. That's great. What makes me sick.
Okay, well, that is about all we have time for. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on the App Store. And we're on iTunes every Friday in decent quality audio this week. Till next week, then. I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.